Good evening. It's time for Parashat HaShavua, which is the parasha this week of Yitro. And we're going to talk a little about Moshe Rabbeinu and Yitro.
Amen.
This class, this parasha class, is dedicated in memory of David Wicks, Zichrono Livracha, by his loving family. David was a great scholar of the Torah enterprise. There are a lot of people who have a lot to thank him for. And so his memory is very special to all of us. Let's start with Shmot Perek Bet. We're looking for Yitro. You know, the thing that I find always interesting is that the parasha in which Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to heaven and receives the Aseret Adibrot, written on two stones, that he brings back down and gives to Bnei Yisrael. I mean, this is the most remarkable thing from many points of view that ever happened in history. You would think that as a kind of a side gift, appreciation and thanks, we would call this parsha Moshe. Why call it Yitro? I mean, okay, you could say that the naming of the parish is not so significant, but it's just done in a kind of arbitrary way. The first important word in the first pasuk becomes the name of the parasha. I say, yeah, I know that. But it could have been so that the name, the word Moshe, if the word Moshe is in the pasuk, in the first pasuk, then Moshe, that's what it says. So Moshe was like just a little further down, but you could have switched the words of the pasuk around so that Moshe would come up first. In any event, it always, I always found it odd. So the parasha of Matan Torah is given over to Yitro, who was not Miyotzei Mitzrayim. He didn't leave Mitzrayim with the Jewish people. He wasn't even Jewish at that time. And he left before the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael. He sort of like said, enough is enough. I can't take this. So I'd like to look into Yitro. Into Yitro. So the pasuk in Perek Bet that we're looking at, the Psukim, Vayishma Paro et hadavar hazeh, Paro heard what Moshe Rabbeinu did. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who kind of was drawn to justice, was drawn to truth. I mean, it's hard to imagine people like that. Vayishma Paro et hadavar hazeh, he killed somebody, he killed an Egyptian. Vayivakesh laharog et Moshe, and he decided that he thought that he should kill Moshe. Vayivrach Moshe mipnei Paro, he ran away. He, Moshe Rabbeinu, ran away. He dwelled in the land of Midian, and he came there, and it's sort of like an elliptical sentence. But it's elliptical and meaningless. What do you mean? He dwelled in the land of Midian, and he dwelled at the well? I mean, how did that fit into a sentence? So Rashi says, "Vayishma Paro im yishinu alav." Right? They told Paro what he had done. They tattletaled. Vayivakesh laharog et Moshe, mesaro lekustina lahargo. They gave him to one of these jailers or a person who did the king's work of killing the enemies out one by one, as opposed to a full-fledged war. He says, he gave it to this guy, he said, kill Moshe Rabbeinu, velo shalta bo hacherev, and he wasn't able to do it. Husha amar Moshe, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu meant when later on he said, Vayatzileni mecherev paro. He saved me from the sword of Paro. Okay, that's another, it's a reference that Rashi has. But here's the interesting part. Vayeshev be'eretz Midyan. That's the first phrase, right? You see in the pasuk, Vayeshev be'eretz Midyan. Why don't I have this? Why isn't this all set up here? You're about to request permission to annotate. Select request. Okay. I need. Oh, there it is. There it is. Look, it's really amazing. It's really amazing. I'm getting a highlighter for those of you wondering what I'm mumbling about. Mumbling here. Yeah. It says in the pasuk that we're talking about, Vayeshev be'eretz Midyan. That's the first thing that it says, right? Vayeshev be'eretz Midyan. And Rashi says, Ditakev sham, he came to Midyan, and he stayed there. He stayed there, kimo, Vayeshev Yaakov. He kimo, Vayeshev Yaakov. That's just like another. Vayeshev is not such a difficult word. But I have to say, Kvo Yaakov, we'll see in a minute. Vayeshev al ha-be'er. He sat down on that well, Lishon Yeshiva. That means like he actually sat there. Where it says Vayeshev, Vayeshev Eretz Midyan, it means someplace in Midyan. It doesn't give you the address, but he lived in Midyan. But the Yeshiv Alaber means he was really sitting at the well. Lamad mi Yaakov shenisdabeg lo zivugo Alaber. He learned from Yaakov. Yaakov found his wife at the Be'er, at the well. So you see twice when it says Vayeshiv, Rashi says Yeshiv number one, Vayeshiv Yaakov, but it was like Vayeshiv Yaakov. Just as it says by Yaakov, and then the second Vayeshev again, Lamad mi Yaakov. He learned it from Yaakov. So what did he learn from Yaakov? What did he learn from Yaakov? It means that he saw himself at that time of his life imitating Yaakov. He Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did he run? Why did he go to Midian? Why didn't he just depend on God would save him somehow? Or why didn't he hide out someplace in Mitzrayim, in Goshen, with all the Jews, with his mother, his sister? Why did he run away to Midian? So Rashi defends Moshe Rabbeinu in the following way. He says Moshe Rabbeinu saw himself as going through the same process as Yaakov Avinu. There had to be some exile. There had to be the wife that was discovered on the well. All of this was part of what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing, apparently, according to Rashi. Pasuk Tet Zayin, Ulechohein Midyan, Sheva Banot. Right? This is all like you see how right he was, Moshe Rabbeinu, how correct he was in doing what he was doing. Kohen Midyan Sheva Banot, the Kohen. Kohen means a Kohen. Midyan, the Kohen of Midyan. He was the Kohen of the whole country. Sheva Banot. Tavona Vatidlena Vatimalena Tarahatim Lashkot Son Aviyem. They came and they took out the water from the well, right? Vatidlena Vatimalena Tarahatim. Those are the troughs that the animals drink from. Lashkot tzon avihem. In order to give the sheep water to drink. Right? Rashi says. L'kohen midyan. Rav shebahem. Kohen midyan. Rav shebahem. The great one amongst them. Upirish lo me'avodah zarah. And so here Rashi tells me a whole story that I have to integrate with my perception of what's going on. Who is Yitro? He's the one who rejected idolatry. He was the great one who rejected idolatry, as a result of which, as a result of it, Niduhu. me etzlam. Niduhu means they put him into a kind of a cherem. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. So that the attempt that they are now going to make, that these shepherds are going to make to keep the daughters of Yitro from getting water, is got to do with some really larger struggle. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu entered into it, right? Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayavo Haroim, the shepherds came Vayigarshum and chased them away, chased them Moshe, right? Before Moshe was Vayeshev, he was sitting, and now he's standing, a verb of action, right? He became enthusiastic about helping them. Moshe, he saved them, Vayashk etzonam, and he helped them give their flocks water to drink. How Moshe Rabbeinu did this, we don't know, but we understand that it's all, there's a control element, min hashamayim, it's all from heaven, right? Veigashum ifnei hanidui, they sent them away because their father was in cherem. Pasuk 18. Vatavona el Reuel avihen. They came to Reuel. First he was called Kohen Midyan. Now he's called Reuel. Vayomer madua miharten bo hayom. So he didn't understand why they came home so early. Vatomarna, they said, as you have to move up the screen a little bit. The Tamarna, Ezra, up. Oh, great, great, thank you. Okay, so it says, Vatomarna ish mitzri itzilanu miyada. Some Egyptian, he doesn't have a name. He doesn't have, we don't know who he is. V'gam dalo dalalanu v'yashkid, and he gave the sheep water to drink. Pasuk kaf. V'yomer, and so the Kohen Midyan, whose name is Reuel, he says, v'yomer l'benotav, he said to his daughters, v'ayo, where is he? I mean, everybody here is at the level of prophecy. He says, "Vayayo." What did he say? "Vayayo." It was a guy, a nice guy. Every nice guy who walks by, I have to go looking for him. Lama zeh zavtem et ha'ish. He says, like Yitro is saying to his daughters, "You didn't get it. You didn't understand that something was going on. You didn't understand that this was something that we might be waiting for." Yo be ayo. Lama zeh zavtem et ha'ish. Krenalo. Call him, call out to him, v'yochal don't know why, I've kind of lost it, the cursor, I've lost the cursor. V'yomer el benotav v'yo, lama zeh azavtem et ha'ish? Krenalo v'yochal lechem. Rashi helps us. Rashi says, Lama ze azavtem et ha'ish? Here, Lama ze azavtem. Hikir bo. Yaakov, you see the theme? He's Yaakov. He's Yaakov incarnate. He's not one of the Avot. He is a copy of one of the Avot. Which Avot is he a copy? Which of the Avot is he a copy of? He's a copy of Yaakov. He's a copy of Yaakov. He was Vayeshev like Yaakov, but he was Vayeshev like Yaakov. And again, he kirbo yitro shehu mizaro sheyakov shehamayim olim likrato, that the waters came out of the well sort of to greet him. Vayochal lechem shema yisa achat miken. Maybe he'll marry one of you, Yitro says. Kimo de'at amart, that you said, ki im halechem asher hu ochel, that the bread is the indicator. It's the indicator. Finally, Pasuk Tav Aleph. Vayoel Moshe lashevet et ha'ish vayitein et zipporah bito l'Moshe. Vayoel. What's Vayoel? What's Vayoel? Okay, if you know Hebrew very well, you know that the word Vayoel means, it's a word that describes completing an action. So Vayoel Moshe lashevet et ha'ish, right? He started off Vayeshev, he was Yaakov. And Vayeshev again, he was Yaakov. And the third time he was Yaakov, and now he's Vayesh Vayoel Moshe lashevet et ha'ish. It wasn't Yaakov, it was the Ish. Who was the Ish? That was Yitro. So Moshe, whose name is, by the way, not mentioned in this group of psukim, Vayitein et Tzipora bito l'Moshe, and he gave Tzipora, his daughter, to Moshe. This is sort of like Yaakov. Yaakov married women in the houses in the house of Laban, and Moshe married Tzipora in the house of Yitro. Look at the Rashi. Look at the Rashi. Rashi says, "Vayoel Kitargumo." Okay, quote several sources. What Umedrasho? You see where Rashi says Medrasho? Medrasho next to the last line, Lashon Allah. Allah is a shvuah, is the Hebrew a Hebrew word that means shvuah. How does shvuah get into the story? How does an oath? What sort of oath is in the story? Nishba lo shelo yazuz mimidyan ki im birshuto. That's what Rashi says. Nishba lo. He made Moshe Rabbeinu take an oath that he would not leave Midian unless he gave him permission. Unless he gave him permission. Now we could think about that. Like, what? Why would Yitro want that? Well, what is Yitro talking about? So if Yitro knew that he was sort of like witnessing Moshe Rabbeinu playing the role of Yaakov. Let's assume that Yitro knew about Yaakov because he was a student of religion, and the Jewish people insisted that their religion was special. And Yitro knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was kind of imitating the Yaakov of the Avot, the one who left the country and married outside the country and finally was able, helped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come back to Eretz Canaan. And so Yitro said, "Look, I'm giving you my daughter to marry, but I don't want you to take my family away unless I agree." That's what he said. And it's rather remarkable, but it's right here in Rashi. Okay, let's go to page two. Page two. Oh, Yofi. Page two, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Chet. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu met up with Moshe Rabbeinu, explained to Moshe Rabbeinu there was a snare, and the snare was burning, and it didn't burn up, and Moshe Rabbeinu was curious, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained to him that somebody had to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. It's not so easy to understand why you needed somebody. You couldn't just appoint somebody ad hoc on that day and say, "Okay, everybody leave." No. There's a process and there's a way of doing it. And when you tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim on the night of Pesach at the Seder, that's what you have to tell. You tell what happened. What happened? Why was there such a complicated Yetziat Mitzrayim? What was the real role of Moshe Rabbeinu? Those are really questions that we can deal with today. We should deal with them. So here's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Vayelech Moshe, Vayoshev el Yeter Chotno. Now it's called Yeter. Yeter is one of his names. Yitro is a many-faceted personality. We'll see that shortly. Vayomer lo, and he, Moshe, said to him, Elcha na. Na usually means please. It's like a request, a very polite request. Vashuva el achai. I will go and return to my brethren, Hashem and Mitzrayim. Ve'eh, ha'odam chayim, and I'll see if they're still alive. I mean, of course, this is true, but that's not the reason that he actually went. I mean, it's true that he's going to see if they're still alive or they're still kicking, but that wasn't it. Vayomer Yitro leMoshe, lech leShalom. And so Rashi says, Vayoshev, you see the Rashi? Look, li tol rishut, to ask for permission. Rashi says, I told you that he made an oath, and the oath was that he had to ask permission from Yitro to leave Midian. So he went and he asked permission. He said to Yitro, give me permission as you said. That's what I need. Sharei nishbalo. Moshe Rabbeinu swore, unlike Yaakov, who did not swear to Laban. But Moshe Rabbeinu swore, Sharei nishbalo. Right? And then he goes on and he adds, Shiv'a shemot ayulo, Re'uel, Yeter, Yitro, Keni, Chovav, Chever, and Putiel. He had seven names. Rashi just says that without explaining, to help us understand that Yitro, at this point, this is like Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God to go back to Mitzrayim to save the Jewish people, and he has to fulfill his oath that he made to Yitro. And so Rashi adds here, Yitro was a many faceted personality. And for each of those personalities, he had a name. He didn't just have seven names. That's ridiculous. But he was many people, and he represented many ideas. And he was very unique and a very unique and special person, right? Page three, Ezra, please. So here are the psukim at the beginning of the Parak Yud-Chet, which is the parasha of Yitro, our parasha. We finally get to the parasha, and there's so many things that you see here. Vayishma Yitro, Kohen Midian. Vayishma Yitro. He understood something. Chotei, who is he? What is his name? Kohen Midian. He has seven names. But only one of them is a Kohen, is him as a Kohen, the religious philosopher, the person who understood what was going on with his son-in-law Moshe. Kohen Midian, Chotein Moshe, right? He was all of these things. He was a Kohen Midian, he was Chotein Moshe. What is Chotein Moshe? He was his father-in-law. When you call somebody, I mean, you call when you introduce somebody, and you want to give him his pedigree, right? So Bedarach Kalal, if he's a leader, you say his name, his father's name, maybe his grandfather's name. Like there's a tradition of leadership. You don't usually say father-in-law, but here in this case, the fact that Yitro was Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, we're introduced to the idea that this is very important. At Kol Asher Asa Elohim LeMoshe, right? All the things people knew, everybody knew that Moshe was special, and God was with him. Uli Yisrael Amo Ki Yotzi Hashem Et Yisrael MiMitzrayim. That's a great thought. A great thought. You understand? But the Egyptians, Yitro understood that, but the Egyptians never did. The Egyptians, Esar Makot, the last of them were the last of the Makot, or the plagues, Makat Bechorot, the death of the firstborn. So you would think that that would make them nervous. No, they went and chased after B'nai Israel until Yam Suf, and that stopped them. But they weren't they couldn't figure it out. They couldn't figure it out. They kept making up excuses and saying, "Oh, there must be in Mitzrayim, outside of Mitzrayim, these kinds of makot, those kinds of makot." They made up excuses. Further, Pasuk Bet Vayikach Yitro Chotein Moshe et Tzipora Eshet Moshe Achashi Lochea. I want you to know. He also brought Tzipora Eshet Moshe. Pasuk Gimel et Shnei Baneh Shashem Echad Gershon Ki Amar Gereiti Be'eretz Nochriya V'Shem Echad. That's Ger, his oldest son. V'Shem Echad Eliezer Ki Elohei Avi Be'ozri. Oh, that's some other kind of. The point that I think is important. Pasuk Hey, Vayavo Yitro Chotein Moshe. Here's the whole, all the family. Yitro Chotein Moshe. That's what he is. Uvanav Ishto El Moshe El Hamidbar. His wife and his sons. El Hamidbar. To the desert, Asherhu Chonesham Har Elohim, which where Moshe Rabbeinu is encamped with the Jewish people at the mountain, at God's mountain. So you see, what is it that made it possible or made it easier for Moshe Rabbeinu to be Moshe Rabbeinu? The fact that his father-in-law, right, Chotein Moshe, again and again, he's Chotein Moshe, played the role of the father. His daughter Tzipora and her two sons lived with her father Yitro, who is called again and again Chotein Moshe. It's almost as though he has some kind of fatherly responsibility, right? Vayomer el Moshe, Pasuk Vav, Vayomer el Moshe, Ani Chotein Chai. So he introduces himself. He says, "I want you to remember, I'm the one who took care of your family. I'm the one who brought up your children. I'm the one who took care of things when you had something greater to do." That was the thing that Miriam and Aaron, when they came to speak, had a lashon hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not attentive to his wife. They didn't understand that there are times when, for very, very, very exceptional people, the regular rules cannot actually apply perfectly. So Yitro said, "I did it because I knew it was the right thing to do, and because that's what you should have done." This is something that ran against the generally accepted ideology of creating clans and families and sticking the together where the property of the family is held on tightly by the family. And he says, Ani vayavo Yitro pasukei kohen Moshe vanav ishto el Moshe lamidbar shehu chonet shamar Elohim pasuk vav. I am the one who took care of your family. Pasuk Zayin, Moshe. Vayishtachu, Vayishaklo, Vayishalu Ishlu Re'ehu L'Shalom, Vayavohu. Obviously, the Torah is telling us that the relationship between the husband and his father-in-law was a remarkable one. I mean, it's not always true, but it's not always the comedy doesn't always work in all families today. But there are places where the husband and his father-in-law don't always get along. That's possible, right? Here they get along. They understand each other. They understand why it is that they exist. Pasuk Chet, Vayisaper Moshe lechotno את כל אשר עשה אשר לפרעה למצרים על אודות ישראל, את כל התלאה שמצאתם בדרך ואצלם השם. You know that Moshe Rabbeinu could tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim probably better than anybody else. Because not only did he know the information, first of all, he knew his conversations with heaven as the thing went on. And he understood more than anybody else why it took as long as it took and why it was as difficult as it was, right? All of these things are certainly part of the Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu sort of says to his father-in-law, look, I know you understand a lot, and I know that you can do things that nobody else can do. But I want to tell it to you firsthand. I want to tell it from me to you. Right? From me to you. Pasuk Tet, you remember, Vayichad Yitro. Akol HaTova Asher Asah Hashem LiYisrael. He was happy. He was sad. Right? It was like Rashi. There's an interesting Rashi. We can't deal with that now. Vayichad Yitro. Let's say he was happy. Akol HaTova. About all the good things that all Kola Tova means, the Tova that Moshe Rabbeinu explained to him. Not regular Tova. Not hamburgers, but something profound. Something deep happened to Bnei Yisrael at the way out of Mitzrayim, which was the point. Pasuk Yud Vayom Yitro Baruch Hashem Asher Yitzil Etchem Yad Mitzrayim Yad Paro Asher Yitzil Et Ha'am Mitarad Yad Mitzrayim. So Yitro makes a bracha. He understood that the only possible reaction that we have at our disposal for divine goodness is a bracha. That's all we can do. That's all we can say. He understood it. He was a man of profound understanding. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ata Yadati, Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Elokim, Ki Badavar Asher Zadu Aleihem. Now I understand more than I understood before. It wasn't enough that I came, but the understanding that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, imbued me with is special, is unique. Vayikach Yitro Chotein Moshe again. Vayikach Yitro Chotein Moshe Olah Zvachim Lelokim. Vayavo Aaron b'kol ziknei Yisrael lechol lechem im chotein Moshe. One second. Im chotein Moshe. Lifnei ha'alokim. Now we know that korbanot were the natural reaction to the goodness that came from heaven, right? Adam Arishon. The Chazal say that Adam Rishon gave korbanot. The Torah says that Cain of Hevel gave korbanot. Noah gave korbanot. Avraham Avinu did not give korbanot, but he built mizbechot. If you don't remember that, check it out. Check it out. He says, so that's what he did. Lechol lechem, kol ziknei Moshe and Aaron, kol ziknei Israel, lechol lechem im. Chotein Moshe Livnei Alukim. Apparently, it's not just that the crowd at a joyous event, that the crowd increases the level of joy, but the quality of the joy, when people join in and they say, oh, this is something I can also participate in, the quality of the joy is special. But joy is special. Finally, the last three psukim by Himi Moharad by Hashem Moshe Lishpot the Ta'ava Yamoda Amal Moshe Menaboka Ada Erev. They were long lines outside of Moshe's tent of people who were coming to ask Shilas. They came to ask Moshe Rabbeinu Shilas Vayehimi Mocharat the next day Vayeshem Moshe Lishmot the Da'am Vayamod Ha'am Al Moshe Min HaBoker Ad HaArev Vayar Chotein Moshe Nochamu Chotein Moshe, we forgot, though. You think about Pasuk Gimel to Pasuk Yudal, we forgot that he's Chotein Moshe. No, because that was his name. He had a name that he received from Am Yisrael. All the other names he received someplace else. Yeter, Yeter and Yitro and Putiel. All those names came from somewhere, but the name that we gave him was Chotein Moshe. Chotein Moshe, because he made it possible for Moshe Rabbeinu to act, to not be burdened by the family. Et kol asher u oseh la'am v'yomer ma davar hazeh shata oseh la'am. So he didn't get it. He said to Moshe, what are you doing? And all these lines here, ma'ata toyu sheilu v'adecha v'kol am nitzav alecha min ha'boker ad ha'ever, Erev, this is ridiculous. That's what Chotein Moshe said to Moshe. I mean, you could say, if you know that a person is with you, has your good intent to give you support, then even if he criticizes you, you could take it, you could put up, because you know that the criticism is for good. But what was the good here? What was he talking about? The next page, please. I could do it. Page 5?
4.
We're up to 4? Okay. Vayomer Moshe lechotno. I would like to... maybe we just stop for a minute, and then we'll continue. I think that there's no doubt in my mind that Yitro became integrated into Am Yisrael and was called Chotein Moshe because he was the one who made it possible for Moshe Rabbeinu to function, and he was also the one who made it possible for Moshe to function on location. What I mean is this: without going through the psukim, and we could go through the psukim, but it might take us a bit long. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what the Torah says, would sit in judgment all day long, every day. And people would ask him shilas. What do I do about this? Or what do I do about that? That's perfectly reasonable. Would you expect anything else? Along comes Chotein Moshe, this special person who made it possible for Moshe Rabbeinu to do in Mitzrayim what it was that God wanted him to do. Because, you know, ultimately, there's a kind of a partnership. Even if God explicitly makes a demand or makes a statement or proposes a proposal, I mean, still, there's a kind of a free will aspect that the human beings have. And Moshe Rabbeinu needed a babysitter. I mean, as strange as that may sound, or as lighthearted as it may sound. But then that was how Chotein Moshe made it possible for Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. And when Chotein Moshe saw Moshe Rabbeinu sitting and teaching the people what the Torah wants of them and making determinations about difficult cases, Yitro said, "This is impossible," he said to Moshe Rabbeinu. "This is impossible. You're going to fall apart. You're going to fall apart." He says, you see Pasuk Yudchet on the sheet? Pasuk Yudchet. Navol tibol gam ata, gam ha'am hazeh asher imach. You're going to be wasted away. You are going to waste away because it's too hard. But the whole nation of Israel is going to fall away. What was Yitro Chotein Moshe talking about? Why would they fall away? So Yitro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm just restating it, a paraphrase, so to speak. Yitro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you doing this? Why are you the one who's answering all the questions? So Moshe Rabbeinu would answer him. I mean, this is my imagined answer for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, then look, the people want to know the truth of the Torah. And I'm the one who could supply that. And if I don't know the truth of the Torah in a particular case, I can turn to heaven and I get an answer. So Yitro said to his son-in-law, he says, and what are the people going to do when you die, Moshe, my son-in-law? What will happen when you die? They can't go to you anymore. They can't go to you. They can't ask you a question. So they'll say, it's over. We no longer have access to the truth of the Torah. After all, when Moshe Rabbeinu was around, I asked him a question, he would talk to God and get an answer. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yitro, Chotein Moshe, said to Moshe Rabbeinu, what are the people going to do? I mean, they're going to run away. They're going to say, we can't go on, we can't maintain because we don't know the real truth. All we know is what some clever judge said, but he's not Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't able to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get the answer in order to make sure. Want to make sure that this enterprise lives on, Yitro said. You have to show the people that you have confidence in their ability to get the truth to the truth by learning the Torah that you taught them. And the way that you'll do that is by appointing judges. Appoint judges, everybody understand, not all the judges are the same, not all the judges are equally clever and profound in with profound insights, and yet we have faith that we're getting the right answer. I faith we're getting the right answer. So if this is, well, is correct or reasonable, better word, if this question is, it turns out that Yitro was the one who made Yitziat Mitzrayim impossible. And Yitro was the one who, after Matan Torah, made the Torah the continuing authority in the Torah, a reasonable result of investigation. I mean, we look at the Torah, we think about the Torah, and we come up with a solution that is acceptable to the nation. And both of those. Yitziat Mitzrayim and the existence of the Torah itself to be granted to the insight and the special relationship that Yitro had with his son-in-law Moshe Rabbeinu. And so, if you think of it in that way, that there's a person who facilitated Yitziat Mitzrayim, he didn't participate. But he facilitated it. And that same person ensured that the Torah would continue to exist after Moshe Rabbeinu's death. It's no surprise that his name is attached to the parsha of Matan Torah. Good Shabbos. Be well. All the best.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom,
Shabbat shalom. Thanks, Rabbi. Thank
Shabbat
you.
shalom, Shabbat shalom.
Very interesting.
Thank you.